Hello and welcome mga Betch, it's me, your gay detective, Martin Hules, and greetings sa isa na namang episode ng True Crime Asia. Kumusta kayong lahat? I hope you guys, girls, and my non-binary friends are safe and healthy. At kung bago kayo sa aking channel, hello, my name is Martin. At tuwing Thursday, gumagawa ako ng video tungkol sa totoong krimen o misteryo na nangyari sa Pilipinas o sa Asia habang nagme-makeup. Kung interesado ka sa ganitong klaseng content, I highly suggest na mag-subscribe ka na sa aking channel for more videos like this. Huwag mo rin kalimutan na i-click yung bell button para na-update ka pag meron tayong bagong uploads. And lastly, if you have any questions tungkol sa topic natin for today or sa mga makeup na i-apply ko, huwag kayong mahiya na magtanong sa comment section below. Okay, so last week kung naaalala nyo pa, pinag-usapan natin yung RCA robbery and massacre. And today naman, we are going to talk about the case of Junko Furuta. Shoutout nga pala kay Makeup Tutorial for recommending this case. Kayo rin kung meron kayong mga nalalaman na true crime or mystery na nangyari sa Pilipinas o sa Asia, let me know in the comment section below at pag-uusapan natin yan sa mga susunod na episodes. Alam nyo, full circle because I remember hearing this story, you know, elementary ako. And now, many years later, I will tell her story here on my channel. And I have the same reaction kahit ilang years na yung nakalipas and still sick to my stomach. Kaya naman, trigger warning, take it away. Mabala. Ang mga susunod na imahe, istorya, at description ay maaari makapagdulot ng takot. Huwag magpatuloy kung kinakailangan. Nangyari yung story natin sa Japan noong 1980s. At that time, Japan was doing well economically. Yung unemployment rate nila went down to 4%. And ito rin yung rise ng bold and over-the-top street fashion called Harajuku style. Dahil short background lang, in the early 1980s, local youths would started blending their Japanese attire with Western fashion and magagather sila sa Harajuku district in Tokyo to flaunt their style. It's a unique and interesting fashion movement. Kaya naman I say work. Anyway, related ba ito sa topic natin for today? Hindi. Pero I want you to picture yung era na itatakal natin because ayoko naman mag-jump in dun sa nitty-gritty details ng story dahil alam ko gusto niya ng details, right? Think of it as a foreplay. Charing! Going back, yung crime rate at that time sa Japan increased particularly with young women who were assaulted and robbed. Because just like any other countries, Japan is very misogynist, patriarch, and sexist. Men act like this not because they are alpha, but because they are weak, insecure, and intimidated to confident and empowered women, trans and non-binary. Alpha male is a myth, for God's sake. Okay, and kung hindi kayo naniniwala sa akin, look how many angry comments from alpha male at mga taong nagsusubscribe sa ideology na to ang nag-comment below or sa mga ibang videos who screams pussy power because they consider effeminate or feminine below them, submissive and weak. Pag walang nag-comment, ibig sabihin, I raised you all well. Anyway, it's up for another topic or video, but I think it's important na pasadahan natin ito dahil clearly yung power dynamics plays a big role sa case natin and it's important para somehow we can unlearn this toxic cycle. But let's focus on our topic, which is si Junko. Junko Furuta was born on January 18, 1971. Meron siyang dalawang kapatid, one older and a younger brother. There's no information about her mom, but yung pangalan ng kanyang father is Akira Furuta. She was a young 5'3 teenage girl who attended Yashio Minami High School. It was said na she was a popular student, did not smoke, drink, or do drugs. She was a focused, straight-A teenager. On top of that, she worked part-time sa isang plastic molding factory so she can save up money sa graduation trip she was planning. Eventually, she took a job at an electronic retail shop where she intended to work until she graduated. What I'm getting at is she had a pretty normal life like everybody else. She's unbothered, moisturized, in her lane, flourishing. Even though she's minding her own business, insecure men will ruin it. Correction, for this topic, not insecure men, but more likely insecure boys. Enter to the scene this prick, Miyano Hiroshi. Ayon sa mga sources, itong si Miyano had a crush on Junko, pero si Junko ay busy sa kanyang studies at sa kanyang part-time job. And turning him down is what influenced the horrible events to Junko's murder. However, merong memorial dedicated to Junko saying, "This young man or young boys didn't even know who she was, but rather they were looking for a random woman to rape and rob." By the way, yung Miyano Hiroshi ay ipinanganak noong April 30, 1970. Isa siya sa mga classmate or schoolmate ni Junko who earned a reputation na school bully. He often hung around Minato Nobuharu, Ogura Jo, and Yasushi Watanabe. All of them, including Junko, are teenagers. Their age range from 16 to 18 years old. Literally, in mga gantong edad, naglalaro pa ako sakali at hindi ako maihiyang sabihin yon. Oo. Because I'm such a baby and late bloomer tayo. Yes, tsare. Apparently, itong mga ito ay iba ang laro nila. Mm-mm. Sa murang edad nitong Miyano ay hindi lang siya bully, kundi low-level Yakuza gangster or chimpira. Short background lang sa Yakuza, yung word na Yakuza aka Gokudo ay synonymous sa gangster, which still is. Pero ngayon, it also served the umbrella term for organized crime syndicates in Japan. The mafia's reach ranges from prostitution and gambling to notable sway in politics. Maraming origin stories yung Yakuza clan, some claims to descend from the honorable Ronin or wandering samurai who served a Robin Hood type of purpose. Yung iba namang samurai terrorized villages called Kabukimono. During World War II, Yakuza organization gained a foothold into society when nationalistic opinions were on the rise. This gave them access to politicians, which sometimes meant eliminating their allies' political opponent. Tulad na lang nung 2007 assassination ni Mayor Ichio Ito ng Nagasaki. Although nag-decline yung number ng Yakuza members nung na-implement yung Anti-Boryukuden Act in 1992, yung Japanese National Police Agency estimated nung 2001 approximately 12,300 Yakuza members were still engaged in illegal activities, and it's possible that their number could be higher. Anyway, going back, ito yung nangyari noong November 25, 1988. Around 8:30 p.m., si Junko sakay ng bike niya galing sa part-time job she tended after her school, rode past some bushes when all of a sudden si Minato Nobuharu popped out and kicked her off her bike. And then he ran away. Then si Miyano Hiroshi took this opportunity to pose as savior. Tinulungan niya itong makatayo and offered to walk her home. As they were passing by an abandoned warehouse, biglang nagbago yung attitude nitong si Miyano and began forcing Junko sa abandonadong bodega. And katulad ng ibang tao, when something was off, mararamdaman mo agad, diba? And Junko did not want to go there. Pero sinabihan siya ni Miyano na part daw siya ng Yakuza at kapag hindi daw ito sumunod, papatayin siya nito and also threatened the girl's family. Sa warehouse na ito, kung saan yung 17 years old was raped for the first time. Pagkatapos, dinala siya sa isang hotel and was raped again. While at the hotel, si Miyano called his friends At pinagmayabang niya kung paano niya ginahasa si Junko. These are the same friends na nabanggit ko kanina na sina Minato, Yasushi, and Ogura. Dahil apparently, yung grupo had a history for assaulting and kidnapping young girls. Around 3 in the morning, umalis si Miyano together with Junko sa hotel para kitain si Minato, Yasushi, and Ogura. Nag-agree silang apat na gawing bihag si Junko dahil pag pinakawalan nila ito ay baka magsumbong sa pulis. Kinalkal ng mga binatilyo yung bag ni Junko and discovered a notebook with her home address in it. Kaya sabi ng apat, tadalin nila si Junko somewhere at alam na nila kung saan ito nakatira. At kung magtangka siyang tumakas, papatayin siya ng mga yakuza. Dinala nila si Junko sa bahay ni Minato sa Ayase District of Adachi. At doon, paulit-ulit na lang ginang-rape yung biktima, which soon became their regular gang hangout. Yung parents niya reported that she was missing after sabihin ng amo ni Junko from her part-time job na hindi ito pumasok sa shift. Pero her parents were able to report her disappearance to the police 2 days after. The boys forced Junko to call her parents to assure them that she was fine and told them that she was staying with friends. And her mother said that she sounded breathless on the phone and told her not to worry that she would be back soon. Unbeknownst to them, this would be the last time they would hear their daughter's voice. At dito na nag-start yung almost 40 days na kalbaryo ni Junko. Nangyayari itong abuse dun sa bahay nung Minato, right? Well, yung parents nung Minato discovered yung presence ni Junko nung bumisita sila sa hideout nung grupo. And Junko was told to pretend that she was one of the boy's girlfriend. At some point, it became obvious that she was being held captive. Pero yung parents ni Minato were terrified to report their son dahil alam nila yung involvement nito sa gang and yakuza. At yung takot nila na yon led to Junko's imprisonment. Junko was forced to be naked, raped every day, and at some point, yung mga binata would invite other men to rape her. It was believed that more than 100 men had raped her because the boys advertised that they had 16-year-old for them. It was estimated that she went through 500 rapes, and ayon sa mga report, nire-rape siya ng 12 different men in one day. Yung mga rapist enjoyed urinating on her. She was forced to masturbate in front of them as a show para sa mga guests. She had also endured severe beatings. Hinampa siya ng golf clubs, bamboo sticks, sinusunog yung balat niya at inuumpog yung ulo niya sa simento. After all ng pinagagawa sa kanya, she still found the strength to call the police kapag meron siyang opportunity. Yung former detective na si Higashino Kelechi, who was in charge of Adachi Police Station outside Tokyo, remember receiving a brief phone call from a woman begging for help. Pero bago pa niya makuha yung address, naputol yung linya. A couple of weeks after receiving the call, yung mga police were approached by a 16-year-old Koichi Ihara and his older brother. Ang sabi ni Koichi, he was bullied into raping and torturing a woman held captive at one of his classmates' basement, and he named Minato's family complicit in their son's act. Kaya the police dispatched 2 officers sa bahay ng mga Nobuharu. However, they were informed that there was no girl inside. They even invited officers inside to do a thorough search, but the officers declined, believing that the invitation alone sufficient that there was nothing untoward to be found. Pero sa reports ng mga police, they mentioned that they did a preliminary search. Maaring takot din itong mga ito sa Yakuza, or worse, they also raped Junko kaya hindi nila ginawa ng maayos yung trabaho nila. Anyway, yung condition and treatment kay Junko is getting worse. She had various objects being forced inside her vagina and anus, from bottle, iron bar, scissors, roasting needles, grilled chicken skewers, a hot lit bulb na ipinasok din sa kanya until it exploded inside, nagpapaputok ng firecrackers sa kanyang anus, at yung kaliwang nipples niya were ripped off with pliers. at binabagsakan siya ng dumbbells sa sikmura. Ito ay habang nakatali siya sa sahig, and because of this, it caused a spinal damage to the nerve na nagkocontrol ng lower part of her colon that sends solid waste out of the body. Kaya she was unable to get herself to the bathroom. She was not allowed to shower and went many days with no food. Ginagawa rin nilang ashtray yung eyelids ni Junko. Pinapakain nila si Junko ng buhay na ipis. Pinapainom yung sarili niyang ihe. At pinapakain yung semen ng mga rapists niya. She was forced to take drugs. Ibinibitin siya sa kisame to be used as a punching bag. Inilalagay siya sa freezer for several hours. Pinapaso ng hot wax at ng lighter yung eyelids niya. Tinutusok ng sewing needles yung breast niya. Her vagina and clitoris was burnt with cigarettes and lighter. Tinatanggal din isa-isa yung kuko niya. And yung perineum niya, which is yung thin layer between our genitals, was ripped off with scissors, which left her unable to defecate or urinate properly. Yung nasal cavities ni Junko were so clogged up with blood that she could not breathe through her nose. Her internal organs began to refuse to accept food or water, kaya sinusuka niya lahat. At kapag sumusuka siya at nadudumihan yung carpet nila, it would piss the boys off, and this gave them the reason to beat her as a punishment. She had severe leg burns and bruised muscle that left her unable to walk from all the tortures. Also, she couldn't handle anything with her hands because her bones were smashed with weights. She was also forced to sleep on a balcony exposed to cold temperatures since winter noong mga panahon na yon. She most likely suffered from hypothermia. Sa sobrang tagal at gruesome ng torture sa kanya, her eardrum was damaged and yung brain size niya was reduced. Nagmamakaawa siya, napatayin na lang siya, but they would not grant her that peace. Yung dati niyang beautiful appearance had become so swollen after ng sobrang extreme na assault sa kanya, and a foul, rotting odor na nanggagaling sa kanya was so difficult for the gang to be attracted and to regain their sexual gratification. Yung mga binata kidnap and rape another girl who was 19 years old at that time na katulad ni Junko, pauwi na galing trabaho. Pero ang kinaibahan lang, after they were finished with her, pinakawalan siya. On January 4, 1989, they challenged Junko na maglaro ng mahjong and said pag nanalo siya, they would release her. Incredibly, she won dahil sobrang gusto niya makalaya. At sa inis ng grupo, they began their last attack na naglast ng 2 hours. They beat her in various ways, and yung isa sa kanila kicked her with so much force that she collapsed into a stereo and succumbed to a convulsive fit. They continued to beat her incapacitated body before dousing her entire body with lighter fluid and set her on fire. This led to her death during the 44 days of torture. Pagkatapos, they wrapped her body with blankets and placed into a traveling bag. Inilagay ito sa 55-gallon drum at tinabunan ito ng semento and dropped it sa abandoned empty lot around 8 a.m. on January 5, 1989. 1 week after Junko's death, inaresto si Miyano and Ogura for their involvement sa pagkidnap at rape sa 19-year-old woman. Ito ay back in December 1988 pa. Good thing because after ng trauma na naranasan niya, she had the courage to report them to the authorities. Pumunta siya sa Adachi Station at nag-file ng complaint of gang rape, assault, and robbery against the 2 boys I mentioned a while ago. She told the police na juniors sa school niya yung mga perpetrators, and dinala siya sa Arakawa Waterfront Warehouse kung saan they sexually assaulted her and threatened to kill her and her family if she went to the police. And she did. So, you go, girl. During the interrogation about the case they were investigating, yung mga officers implied na si Ogura had told them about Miyano's committing a murder. Si Miyano immediately folded and confessed to torturing and murdering Junko. Na-surprise yung mga police sa confession na ito dahil they were pertaining dun sa kasong Nawawalang babae at anak nito ilang days prior yung abduction ni Junko noong November 16, 1988. With this, yung katawan ni Junko was found the following day and was carefully extracted from the concrete. DNA was found in the victim's body that proves the four boys assaulted her and responsible for her death. The trial began in Tokyo noong July 31, 1989 at katulad sa ibang bansa, Japan's juvenile justice system, yung mga minors have the right to anonymity. The Japanese juvenile law is geared towards rehabilitation and educating young criminals rather than carrying out strict punishment. However, yung Japanese weekly news magazine na Shukan Bushun published their names. Because yung magazine editor at that time na si Hanada Kazuyoshi, galit na yung name at pictures lang ni Junko yung nakakalat. Pero yung apat na binata ay protected. Kaya isiniwalat niya rin yung identity ng mga may sala. In their April 20, 1989 issue, they claim, and I quote, "Brutes have no human rights," end quote. He was well aware of the repercussion that would follow as it violated juvenile laws. However, he noted that there were no penalty regulations in place to punish them. Yung apat na binata were tried as adults in Tokyo District Criminal Court, pero they still received special treatment reserved for minors. On July 20, 1990, a year later, all four boys pleaded guilty on body injury. They pleaded guilty sa pambubugbog kay Junko that resulted in death dahil unintended daw ito at accidental. During the sentencing, si Miyano Hiroshi, na 18-year-old at the time of the crime, had the highest sentence up to 17 years in prison, which the judge later increased to 20 years. Ito na yung pinaka-maximum number of years na kayang ibigay ng korte before life imprisonment. And then si Miyano later changed his name to Hiroshi Yokohama. Si Ogura Joe was sentenced 5 to 10 years in juvenile prison. Pinago niya rin yung pangalan niya to Joe Kamikazu. Si Minato Nobuharu changed his surname to Shinji, was sentenced 5 to 9 years. And lastly, si Yasushi Watanabe, 17-year-old, was sentenced 5 to 7 years in prison. Fast forward after lumaya ni Miyano, inaresto ulit siya noong 2013 for fraud but later released due to insufficient evidence. Today, he is an avid kickboxer and found himself a new interest. His organized crime ties and MLM or multi-level marketing schemes had made him wealthy as well. Si Minato naman was sentenced 4 to 6 years additional sa 5 to 9 years na sentensya niya upon appealing the sentence. Yung parents at kapatid nito were not charged because they claimed they did not know this was happening under their roof. Ikinadismaya naman ng mga furuta yung desisyon, pero they were able to win a civil case against the parents of Minato. Close to $40,000 from the Nobuharus. Yung mother ni Junko suffered a mental breakdown during the trial. I mean, I would lose it too. Si Minato moved in with his mother after he was released. Later in life, he married a Romanian and moved to Osaka to start a family. Minato and his wife had a baby girl. They then relocated to Aizu City. Pero in 2018, he got arrested again for attempted murder and assaulting a 33-year-old man with a rod and knife. Si Ogura naman was released in 2004 after serving an 8-year sentence. He was adopted by one of his supporters. Later that year, he had allegedly renewed his contracts with the underworld. He was arrested for assaulting a 27-year-old acquaintance named Takatoshi Isono because Ogura thought involved itong guy sa girlfriend niya. He beat him, shoved him sa trunk ng car niya, drove from Idachi to his mother's bar in Misato, which is Junko's hometown, and continued to beat the man. During the 4-hour beating, allegedly tinakot daw ni Ogura yung lalaki by telling him he had killed before and know how to get away with it. During his trial for this case, Ogura admitted to the assault, pero he denied that he'd referred to any previous murder or threatened Isono. And pagkatapos, he served 7 years for this assault. Samantala, yung pang-apat na miyembro na si Yasushi Watanabe lang, yung walang records kung nakalabas na ba siya or na-involved ba siya sa ibang krimen. Unlike yung mga dati niyang grupo na laman lagi ng balita. Anyway, yung funeral ni Junko was held on April 2, 1989. Her previous employer offered her uniforms to her parents. Isa sa mga friends ni Junko offered a tender words during her memorial. Ang sabi, and I quote, "Jun-chan, welcome back. I had never dreamed that we would see you again this way. You must have been in so much pain, so much suffering." The happy, aka traditional Japanese tube sleeve coat we all made for the school festival look really good on you. "I have heard that the headmaster has presented you with a graduation certificate, so we graduate together, all of us. Jun-chan, there is no more pain, no more suffering." End quote. Yung story ni Junko inspired several movies and manga illustrated by Yuji Kamata, and yung film naman na Concrete and Case, High School Girl Murder Case na nirelease noong 1995 directed by Matsumura Katsuya. So that is the case of Junko Furuta. Let me know your thoughts in the comments below. Ako, to be honest, sobrang overwhelmed ako at speechless sa nangyari kay Junko. And those four pricks should still be in jail up to this day. Sorry, not sorry sa mga epitome ng kademonyohan. Also, yung reasoning ng parents ni Minato is bullshit. Complicit sila clearly dahil imposible na hindi nila naririnig yung iyak at daeng ni Junko. Like, ganun ba ka-soundproof yung bahay niyo, te? Nagulat din ako na may mga supporters ito, mga ito, at yung isa nakapag-asawa pa, girl. Ano na? At isa pa, yung mga incompetent na police na hindi nag-inspect sa loob ng bahay ng Minato dahil kung sana naghalughog sila doon, ay nasave pa si Junko. Nakakagalit ng sobra yung nangyari kay Junko, and we need to end this violent acts. Kaya regardless whether you're a woman, man, child, or part of the LGBTQIA+ community, if you experience sexual abuse, assault, and harassment, don't hesitate to report it, of course, when you are ready, and get support from #MentalHealthPH, National Center for Mental Health, and Child Helpline. Yung mga details nila, like website, crisis hotline, at social media handles ay nakalagay sa description box below. And don't forget to share it with your friends na sa tingin nyong nangangailangan ng support. That's it for me today. Thank you so much for watching. As always, please keep safe and healthy, and I'll see you loves on my next video. Bye!